Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
Amen, 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 amen. Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Water. I'm Joe Israel of the Sounds of Living Water.
Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, this is the Thursday night edition of the Sounds of Living Water. You have the spirit of meekness and charity Bible study class coming out of Peoria, Illinois, with our brother Isaiah Brown. Bringing that razor blade. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight's reading for my brother is also Nakomi Swanson of the Nation of People.
Big facts. Israelites.
Man, big ups to little Israel. Tonight's precept. Yea, God has mercy, but no mercy is given with blasphemy, the Holy Ghost. Let me read this again. Yea, God has mercy, but no mercy is given with blasphemy, the Holy Ghost. Now that's drama. That's lake of fire drama. Can't wait to get into this precept. We're going to turn this over to our brother Isaiah Brown. Shalom, Israelite.
Hey, shalom, shalom, bro. And I think we might have to mute out the conversation because we hear that ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I don't know if you hear it on your side, but I hear it big time on my side. Do you hear it too, Nakomi?
Yeah, I hear it.
Okay, yeah. So if possible, if you can mute it out, you know, that'd be a blessing. You know, and if anybody have any questions, then you know you could be more than happy to press the number one button, and then Brother Job or Sister Rhea would be more happy to come in and pause the precepts so you can answer your question or if you want to add on. You know, that's just what we do, you know. And definitely what we also like to do is make sure we be as professional as possible. You know, there's no such thing as a precept going on with 25 or 30 sound effects in the background. Everything will be shut down until we figure out the problem before we go any further, you know, because your time is precious and we appreciate your time. We appreciate everybody's time for definitely you could be doing anything on a Thursday, but just to show your love and to try to get the understanding that the Most High has given us, it's a blessing that you guys are partaking this with us. So it is very important for us on our side, the teachers and the people that do the online Bible blog talk thing, to be as professional as possible. So that is the only reason why we mute not the phones. But like I said before, I say it again, if you have any concerns or if you want to add to the precept, or if you want to ask a question or go back to a verse or something like that, be more happy to press the number one button, and then we will stop the precept to make sure you get your request.
Amen.
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 Amen. Grace and peace, family. Grace and peace. This is Brother Isaiah. I'm bringing a precept tonight. And my reader is the awesome Brother Nakomi, a.k.a. Lil Israel, will be reading for your brother tonight. He is the armor bearer, and I'm glad he's a part of this precept I'll be doing tonight. You know, like I said, it's not too much of a long stretch. It's not like last week, a two-hour-plus lesson. So please, guys, don't hold on. It's not going to be a two-hour lesson. You know, but we do have a couple of things I really want to discuss tonight. And one of the things I really want to discuss is what the Father has shown me. You know, through my heart, you know, through my studies and reading and stuff like that, I really want to get into this precept that is called, yea, God has mercy, but no mercy is given with blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You know, because now we have a two-set-up platform. You know, because your flesh, regardless if you're serving to God or not, you are flesh. God is merciful unto us sinners, and God had mercy on our sins. This precept is not giving you the chance, opportunity to do whatever comes to your heart. Because this precept that we're doing tonight is a precept for the righteous. This precept ain't got too much to do with the unrighteous. This precept ain't got nothing to do with the people who playing in the book and stuff like that. Well, tad bit. But we're not too much concerned with that. Tonight we are concerned with how God deal with his mercy. Because if you're serving the God, you're going to have your ups and downs. If you're serving the God, you're going to have the times you're just doing great for the Most High, and you got times you just might not be doing so great. Does not mean that you're not a servant. It's just part of being a human being. But also, being a servant of God, there's just certain things we just don't do. You know, how many of us can just sit back and just look at the foolishness we was on before we got baptized and try to put your lifestyle on a pedestal today? I'm pretty sure if you're serving a God, you have knocked down a truckload of that flesh. A truckload of it. You know, through your actions, or maybe what you're thinking or what you're saying. I'm not telling you to say whatever it is, but you know, that's personal between you and God. But at the same point of time, brothers and sisters, we have demolished a lot of this flesh. But what we need to understand is that there are still some pieces of this flesh lingering around that we'd like to do. And those might be the hard ones for us to try to overcome. But the same point of time is that God sees us trying. You think God is going to demolish a man that he's seen putting his forth and effort, blood and sweat into the sin he liked the most? The Lord might put it on a pedestal. Well, he demolished 79% of it. So let me just go ahead and just stick through with him with this other 12%. Well, 20-some percent. Give yourself a chance to grow. And that's what God is saying. You might think you might be tough man, big man on campus, but the Lord is looking at that. You still got some more time to be dealing with your thorns and your flesh. Do the best you can to take out as much of flesh as you possibly can. So I give you mercy on that. Even though Satan's accusing you in front of my face all day and night, but I know you're at least trying. But one thing, that devil bet not say that you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Because you're going to see the difference between fighting the flesh and just playing out blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That part of the portion that God has given men that fight the flesh and try to win the battle and run the race, you shall obtain mercy. But what about the one who's just playing in the book or agreeing with something that they know that's not? That's a whole different story. There is no forgiveness. So what we're going to do is look and break down both of these two situations. So what I'm going to do is start us down the Lord's Prayer. And after I finish the Lord's Prayer, Brother McCombie will read whatever the Father put on his heart. Amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. A man that hath traveled knoweth many things, and he that hath much experience will declare wisdom. He that hath no experience knoweth little, but he that hath traveled is full of prudence. When I traveled, I saw many things, and I understand more than I can express. I was oft-time in danger of death, yet I was delivered because of these things. The spirit of those that fear the Lord shall live, for their hope is in him that saveth them. Whoso feareth the Lord shall not fear nor be afraid, for he is his hope. Blessed is the soul of him that feareth the Lord, to whom doeth he look, and who is his strength. For the eyes of the Lord are upon them that love him. He is their mighty protection and strong stay, a defense from heat and a cover from the sun at noon, and preservation from stumbling and a help from falling. He rises up the soul and lighteneth the eyes. He giveth health, life, and blessing. I have read Ecclesiasticus chapter 34, verses 9 through 17. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brother Nakomi?
Yes, sir.
Hold on to that scripture. We might use that for the last one. You be pulling out some real good stuff, bro. So hold that one down for me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, amen. Okay, let me make sure I got my charger plugged up. Okay, it's plugged up. All right, now it's time for us to tear these scriptures off to shreds. As always, pure razor blade and lemon juice. All praise to the Father, y'all. Grace and peace. And thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. And just in case we have any new listeners in case we have any more new listeners in, the name of the precept is called, yay, God has mercy, but no mercy is given with blaspheming the Holy Ghost. So now, like I said it before, I say it again, we have two platforms. We have a platform of a servant that's trying his best to fight off as much of his flesh as possible. That person shall receive mercy, because the Lord, seeing that we are putting forth an effort in to get rid of this mess as much as possible, we shall receive mercy. But there is no mercy given to those who deliberately teach against God's word. So what we're going to do is search these things out. So yeah, let's search this stuff out. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Matthew chapter 22. The book of Matthew chapter 22. The book of Matthew chapter 22. And all we want is verse 14. 22 and verse 14. The book of Matthew chapter
22, 14.
Go ahead.
Matthew 22 and 14. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Amen. So all we're dealing right now is the chosen. We're not too much focused on the first part of this precept, the very first part of this precept that we're doing, because it is a two-part base form precept. But the first part of the base form precept that we're doing today is that we're only dealing with the chosen. Well, the ones that we think are chosen. Because only God really knows the last answer to that. But I'm pretty sure we have a bit of an understanding on who the chosen is, because you will know that man by his fruit that is on his tree. So we're going to deal with the chosen. The book just said, for many are called, but few are chosen. So let's deal with this few that is chosen. And we're going to look at a platform on the chosen. Do the chosen have trials and tribulations? Do the chosen fight in the flesh? Do the chosen have a broken and a contrite spirit? Or do the chosen have absolutely no thorns in the flesh? They just perfect and upright all day and night and do no wrong. Let's find this thing out. So the book just told us in the book of Matthew chapter 22 and 14 that many are called, but few are chosen. So let's look at a chosen prophet according to the scriptures and let's get his MO on his stories. So now what we're going to do now is go into the book of Acts chapter 9, the book of Acts chapter 9. Let's go into the book of Acts chapter 9. The book of Acts chapter 9. And what we're going to do is read verses 15 through 17. 15 through 17. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Acts chapter 9, starting at the 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.
Amen. So now we have a serious conversation about the chosen, because we read in the book of Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, that few are called, many are chosen. Now we're picking up a conversation on a chosen vessel. And just in case we have any brand new listeners, we are talking about Paul. Paul is a chosen vessel for the service of God. So Paul is a chosen vessel for the Most High God. Go ahead and read.
16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. So Paul on board. Paul is a chosen vessel. It don't matter how much of this foolishness of persecuting the church that he has done. Does not matter. God has the last say. He's a chosen vessel unto me, and he has work to do. So give me his eyesight so we can take care of my business. So Paul is a chosen vessel. So what we're going to do is look at a couple of stories of Paul and to see how he took care of some of the issues that he had in life, even though he's a chosen vessel. But before we get more into his conversation, we got to understand something about a servant of God, or just flesh, people in general, before we get to Paul's writing. So what we're going to have to do is take a quick stop to the book of 1 John, the book of 1 John chapter 1. The book of 1 John chapter 1. And this is what we need to really take heed to. You know, so this is a platform of us not to beat ourselves down too hard. You know, if you find this flesh and you got your battles going on and stuff like that, this is why I say do the best you can to serve God. Because by you doing the best you can, God will give you strength and in due time to do a better fight for the next time. Or you just got to hold on. Don't give up. Don't beat yourself down to the point that you don't even want to do this thing no more, because it was better for you not to know than to know and turn away. So don't beat yourself down, and let's look at this story on why you shouldn't beat yourself down. We're in the book of 1 John chapter 1. The book of 1 John chapter 1, and all we want is verse 10. 1 John 1 and 10, when you get it, go ahead and read.
1 John 1 and 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
So we need to understand, no matter how high, righteous, or pious, or holy we think we are, we all got something we're trying to overcome. That's what makes you a servant, trying to overcome the things that you like to do. How much of this flesh are you sacrificing daily to try to obtain that crown, that eternal crown? But the Bible always say, fight a good fight. We're in a battle. We're at war. And if you look at any world war century, if you look at any world war videos, or if you go to any the stories of wars, you have some winning some battles, you have them losing some battles. But the whole goal is to win the war. So this is what we're trying to do. Even though we have this flesh, but the whole thing is that we're going to do all in our willpower to win the war. You win some, you lose some, but you live to see another day, or rather fight another day. So just because you're in this battle and some battles you win and some battles you're losing, do the best you can to serve God. Because remember, if you're a chosen vessel, you have already demolished a truckload of your flesh anyway. But there are just some things that still lingering around. And that's where you got to put your best performance on to make sure that you serve and do what's right in the eyesight of God. So we can't be walking back and forth saying, we ain't been sinning, we ain't sinning, I ain't sinning, because as soon as you say that you ain't not sinning, the Lord said you are lying, the truth ain't in you. So we have demand for that. So now let's go back into the story of a chosen vessel, which is Paul. So what we're going to do is go back to the story of Paul. And the Lord has shown me some very interesting things. And we're also going to look a couple of words up. So what we're going to do is go to the book of 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is the reason why another platform said, oh, why you shouldn't beat yourself down too badly, because we simply just don't know. And let me show you why we need to take heed and be humble on certain situations. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And what we're going to do, Brother McCormick, is read verses 6 through 9. But I will cut you off at verse 7, okay? So 6 through 7, when you get it, go ahead and read.
2 Corinthians starting at chapter 12, starting at the 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he hear of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
Oh my gosh. When I was putting this precept together, the Lord showed me something, and I went to them dictionaries and definitions and looked some stuff up. If you really take your time and consider the bottom of verse 7, it say, well, I'm going to read up a little bit more. Well, I'm going to read 7. At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Right? So it said, at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. So he's having a conversation to stop him from doing something, from exalting himself. But what happened? It said, at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I should be exalted above measure. So what do we think Paul is saying? Before I exalt myself to the highest degree above measure, Satan came to buffet me. So what we're going to do is look the word up, least. Well, lest, least. This is the definition of least in the conjunction, informal. This is the definition. To avoid the risk of. To avoid the risk. The synonyms, in case, just in case, for fear that. So what we're going to do is use the definitions to break down what Paul said. So at the bottom of verse 7, it said, least I should be exalted. But if you take that least out and use the definition, all it's saying is in case. So in case I should be exalted above measure, or just in case I should be exalted above measure, or for fear that I should be above, for fear that I should be exalted above measure. So when you look at this story and breaking the story down, before a servant get too high off the food chain with his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it's obvious that the Lord has sent Satan the devil to buffet him to put himself back down to the lower rank level. Because I don't want you to get to that point that you get proud and boastful, and I got this spirit all in my face trying to have me do something to you, so I'm going to use him to humble you down. So this is why we just can't be abusing and mistreating ourselves, because we don't know. And definitely if you are serving the Most High and he's opened your eyes up, you see your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding growing, you understand the precepts, the Most High got his spirit with you, you're starting to understand all these mysteries, there's a chance and possibility that you will exalt yourself above measure. But before you do that, you might have yourself a trial and tribulation just to make you fall so you can humble yourself. Because the word least only means just in case. So let's read verses 8 and 9. Go ahead and read.
Brother Isaiah, before you go there, can you tell me where you got the definition of least? That's L-E-S-T.
L-E-S-T, yeah.
And where did you get your definition from?
Hold on one second.
Because the one I'm looking at is not, it's not really a good definition. To post it.
Well, I did a regular look up on the definition online. I didn't go to the to the Hebrew or the Greeks. So you can just do a regular you can do a regular search.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Amen.
2 Corinthians 12:8.
8-9.
For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
So I get that thrown in the flesh. If it's going to humble me. Because then now I know that by this buffet, it's going to make me wiser, it's going to make me stronger, and it's going to keep me in a position not to exalt myself as if I'm some type of high holy roller. So what we got to do now is look the definition up of exalted, because it says he's going to exalt himself above measure, right? So exalted in an adjective. It means high-ranking, superior, powerful. So if I was to exalt myself, hold on, let me see, let me get that scripture. Hold on one second, because I want to read it then say it. Least I should be high ranking, lest I should be superior, lest I should be powerful above measure. Exalted means high ranking, superior, or powerful. Least means in case. So this is giving us a story. That the Lord, if he loves you enough, before you put yourself on a high power pedestal, He go knock them legs down just to keep you in the humility, a broken and contrite spirit, mourning and crying because you want to do what's right. But how many of us believe that the Lord put you in that position so you can go to him for forgiveness? Because all I'm seeing is, the only thing that I'm seeing reading this is that this is another platform of God showing his servants that you need me. You can talk all high, powerful, mighty all we want, but I don't care. But at the end of the day, I got the last say. We can talk all big, but the last day, man, you need me to do every single thing you're talking about. So if we talking and not recognizing that, he might just send Satan just to knock you down so you can come to him with forgiveness and humbleness and crying and weeping and anguish and pain. Just to humble us because he loves us. Because Paul said, man, Lord, I went to you 3 times with this. That's why when you understand the scriptures in the book of Romans, when he said the things I hate that I do, you got to understand what this man is talking about. We got to understand what Paul is talking about, a chosen vessel. So is this talking about you just do whatever you're mad? No, the guy go tear you up to pieces and you go get yourself cut off. So don't think I'm putting this precept together to try to give somebody a free card. No. It ain't that type of party. I'm just trying to keep this thing as real as possible. This is where we're at. So even though Paul had massive wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and also the Lord gave, just imagine how the Lord got to really make sure he checked Paul and to show him this understanding on humility. Because Paul was so bad, man, the man was healing and taking away demons with a handkerchief. How more better can you get than that? So just imagine his level of humility for him to understand that he can't take nothing from the Father. How bad is that? So just imagine the level of Paul's humility. So let's check out more of this story on this chosen vessel. Let's go in the book of Romans chapter 7. The book of Romans chapter 7. And what we're going to do is read verses 14 through 25. Romans 7, verses 14 through 25. I will cut you off if necessary, Brother McComey. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Romans chapter 7, starting at the 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find it not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God.
Whoa. So remember, brothers and sisters, we're reading about a chosen vessel. You mean to tell me the things he know he's supposed to be doing, sometimes they ain't in him to do it? Now remember, this is a platform for the righteous. So we cannot put in our thought process that Paul is going out there doing anything he want. He's not. But even though you knock down a multitude amount of your flesh, there are still certain things that still linger around. Because you got to understand, these things might be up on us just to humble ourselves or to learn an example. And when God gave you strength to overcome it, the Bible, what did God tell Peter? Peter, the devil want to swift you like wheat. I pray to the Father that he strengthen you. And after the Father strengthen you, go strengthen your brothers. So a servant might get the biggest, worst truckload of getting rid of flesh. Why? Because once he get rid of it, he's going to do supreme for the Father to show the other men and women how to get rid of that same thorn in the flesh. That's why I think it's very important for us to really do a back view on our lifestyle, or if you're comfortable with that, you know, or just put it in the on a pedestal, or to show people how you got rid of it. Because I'm pretty sure there are ways of putting a precept together without you telling anybody your business and giving room for these so-called brutes to try to attack you and try to show you how worthless you are. But I do believe there's a different platform to show people without telling people your business, just in case if you're more comfortable with that. But remember, brothers and sisters, ain't no telling why that piece of flesh is still lingering around. That big piece that you know you got to get rid of, ain't no telling why that's still around. Because if the God is still with you, if he's still on your mind, if all you do is still think about God, if all you're doing is trying to work in the vineyard and work on your talents and be the best brother you can be to others and help the poor, you should know for a fact that you're still on his team. But why am I still thinking like this? Why is this flesh part still up on me like this? Because once you overcome it, you will be able to do marvelous things for the Father. We talking about a chosen vessel, brothers and sisters. But if you check up on verse 24, Paul called himself an old ratchet man that he is. Because it could just tell you that you cry out to God. You know, you beat down, you're broken, the contrite spirit. You feel like you're worthless. It'll make you want to call yourself an old ratchet man. But what we have to do, brothers and sisters, is stop the precept for a second and look this word ratchet up. And I have the word ratchet in the definition. It's kind of long, so I just pulled out a couple of them because it could have kept us here for about 2 hours.
Amen.
So what we're going to do now is look the word ratchet up in an adjective. The word ratchet in adjective. Miserable, unhappy, sad, brokenhearted, dirty, filthy, no good, abominable. You mean tell me abominable is a part of the definition of ratchet? Hopeless, bad, terrible, awful, pathetic. You mean tell me Paul was talking like an old miserable man that I am, old unhappy man that I am, old sad man that I am, old brokenhearted man that I am, old dirty man that I am, old filthy man that I am, old no good man that I am, old abominable man that I am, oh, hopeless man that I am. Oh, bad man that I am. Oh, terrible man that I am. Oh, awful man that I am. And also, oh, pathetic man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So we can't sit back and forth like We don't know what this man is talking about.
Can I read my synonyms, Brother Isaiah?
Oh, go ahead.
For wretched, I have some of the same synonyms you have, but I have terrible, very bad, afflicted, base, bum, cheap, dejected, depressed, despicable, distressed, down, down and out, downcast, faulty, gloomy, hopeless, hurting, inferior, in the pits, low, low down, mean, melancholy, miserable, pathetic, pitiful, sorrowful, poor, shabby, shameful, shameful, okay, sordid, sorrowful, sorry, spiritless, tragic, unfortunate, unhappy, vile, weak, woeful, worthless. Amen.
Ooh, we amen. Yeah. Thank you, Sister Rhea, for tuning in, for adding that on to the precinct. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. But remember, we're talking about a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel is had the audacity to call himself an old ratchet man that he is. So what they're telling us is that whatever God put on Paul in the book of Acts, that thorn in the flesh to buffet him, it beat and buffet him down so Paul won't exalt himself above measure. So that's why it's not a good idea to, you know, beat and bash yourself down too bad. Because God might just be letting him do that for your own safety. So just because you fall, wipe the dust off your feet, be smarter next time, and try to do better. Ain't no telling how many battles you're going to win or lose. But as long as God's seeing that you try to at least do something, I'm pretty sure he'd be a little bit more merciful to you. You know, and definitely all you do is book. All you do is work on your talents. All you do is work on your rap music, your poetry. All you do is work on your best behavior. All you do is try to study to be a better person with the fruits of the Spirit. If you are doing all those things to best your ability, do you think God is going to look his head up and just cast you down? No, because you're doing great things, but you're still in the flesh. You still my boy. You an idiot, but I love you. And I know with this thorn in your flesh, you need time to grow. This is why I tell brothers and sisters, man, don't make no vows. Because I was stupid enough and ignorant enough to do it myself. And I'm telling you, it's not always as easy as it sounds. Because y'all hear me say this a bunch of times about the whole vowing without smoking a cigarette. That was good for 2 years until, you know, I'm not going to say that person's name. I want Sister Rhea popping in laughing. But, it's not a good thing because you're up under this flesh. You don't know what trial and tribulation God wants you to go through. So don't be making no vows because you just don't know what he got in store for you to try to overcome. So that's why I tell y'all, I'm telling you, don't make no vow. Because you don't know how long it's going to be before you get rid of that thorn in the flesh. Now, just imagine if you vowed on something. But the Lord looking at you and your strength, and it's going to take you about 10 years to get rid of that. And you sitting here vowing. You don't know. So don't vow. Please don't vow. Just live the best life you possibly can for the Most High and leave it like that. because we don't even come close to Paul, and we ain't as cold as this brother to have himself a handkerchief piece and casting out spirits. You ain't that cold. I know I ain't that cold. We can't heal like that. We can't just walk up to somebody doing an exorcism and tell a spirit to come out of them and they can't help but dance to your beat. We can't really do that. We have the word and we can pray and fast, but Paul was doing this thing on a physical level so everybody and their mama can see it. So now if this man pedestal was this high and he's sitting up in here turning around and calling himself an old ratchet man that I am, where the hell do you think we're at? We probably won't even come close to his toenail, and we sitting up here acting like we all cold. Humility. That's what we need. Humility. Now let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 51. The book of Psalms chapter... No. Let's go back. We got to read verse 25. All right, brother, call me. Read verse 25 and we go head out.
Romans chapter 7 and 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what are they telling you? That all we man. I hope to God to keep me in his grace and his mercy. Because God is constantly showing us, no matter how bad you think you want to do something, at the last day, brother, you need me. You my creation. You can't do this without me. So we can boldly talk all we want. But we better understand, whatever come out of our mouth, we need God to get whatever done, what we're talking about. Because without him, it's for nothing. We might want to do a trillion things for the Most High and just go all about. But have you prayed on it? Have you asked God if it's possible for you to get this done, but let it not be my will, but thine will, Father? In Jesus' name, amen. Because I truly believe that God is showing us that no matter how big and bad we think we are, we still need to humble ourselves and ask God for more strength to get through another day. Because it's only through him on why we're still here. It's only because of the Most High God why we're still in this fight trying to get this thing right. Because if God wasn't with us, ain't no telling, boy, Buddha might come right out this window and take everybody out. You see, if you look on TV, my brother showed me this crazy video out there in Texas. No, that stuff, man, it scared the crap out of me and broke my heart. So, you know, my brother sent me a video on Messenger, you know, about this church out there in Texas. You know, it was just a regular old sermon and stuff like that. And one brother decided to get up, pull his gun out, and kill two of the men in the classes and ran off. Them brothers are dead. Just that quick. So when God ain't got his haters around us, the Lord ain't got us, if we ain't that close to Most High, ain't no telling what can happen to us. And it happened so quick. They lost their life in a tenth of a second. Just that quick. We need God, brothers and sisters. We need him, big time. So whatever you get to do in your heart, or whatever you want to do in your heart for the Most High, whatever you want to do, go to God and see if it's good, and make sure that you give me the strength to take care of this. And also, Lord, I understand what Paul was talking about. When I want to do good, evil was present with me. Help me to understand that and keep my eyes around my surroundings. Because I need you. I can talk all day and night, but I need you. Because I can't see these spirits. But I'm sitting here trying to do right. I'm a single brother. And one of Satan's seeds come towards me. and I ain't gird up, ain't no telling what I'm going to do. Because just like that quick second, evil could be present with you, or an argument, or a fight, or some brothers elect to smite with the fist and cause all type of confusion, debate. Ain't no telling what's going to be around you while you're trying to get your job done. So we got to be aware of that, because when you want to do good, when you want to do righteousness, you better believe that evil is present with us all. Now we can go to the book of Psalms 51, the book of Psalms chapter 51. The book of Psalms chapter 51. The book of Psalms chapter 51, and all we want is verse 17.
Psalms 51 and 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
Well, any of you got a contrite spirit, you got a broken heart, man, you just trying to do right. You know, look, I'm tired of losing. I'm just trying to do right. I did good Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, ain't looking too good. Lord, have mercy on me. I messed up on this part right here, Lord, but I doubled up in the books and tried to get this thing right. Lord, have some mercy on me. Might be on the floor crying like, Lord, please help me. Give me some more time. I'm not ready for this one. What the book to say about that? Oh, God, thou will not despise. When you come to him like that, you think he going to despise you? When you trying to do the best you can and you get knocked out, your eye all big and black, the ring, you're on round two, your teeth knocked out, you're bleeding, but you still pulling, trying to get back up, you wiggling. You think God going to despise you for doing the best you can of your ability? He won't despise you. You just got some more growing to do. Or you've been too up with your mouth. I've been looking at your heart, brother, and you've been showing too much of a I know it all. I check your spirit out, and them thoughts came across your mind that you think you pious and holy, top notch, above measure. So like I did my servant Paul, I got to knock you down some. And once you start hooping and hollering and crying and coming back to me, now I can accept you now, because now you can humble yourself, because you're not as good as you think you are. We constantly keep forgetting, no matter what you do, we need God. So when we think we are high and up on our knees, he'll show you where you really at. Not because he despises you or nothing, but to just show us that you need me. And he won't despise us if we're trying to do what's right. So be mindful of that. We remember that. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 34. The book of Psalms chapter 34. The book of Psalms chapter 34. And we're going to read verses 18 through 20.
Psalms chapter 34, starting at 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken.
Amen. Now just think about it. How can the Lord deliver you and strengthen you and make you a better servant if you never fall? Or if you got this whole thing right, nothing is tempting you. You ain't falling into any type of your thorn in the flesh at times. How could God put that spirit on you and deliver you if you don't fall through nothing? That you just always doing the right thing at all times and your thoughts. How could he do what the book of Psalms chapter 34 verses 18 through 20? How could he do that to you if you already high and mighty? But if you're not high and mighty and you understand that and you're trying to get through the day and trying to fight for the kingdom, then what we just read, then he can do that for you. And he won't despise you. Because even though you can't get it all right, you at least trying to put forth an effort into trying to get it right. Now let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 103. 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 And what we're going to do is read verses 10 and 11.
Psalms 103 starting at the 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
Oh, so the person that's trying to get it right but just can't get it right all the time. Or that person that got that thorn in the flesh that's trying to get it right but that thing is keeping them humble. I'm trying to do what's right, but it ain't always right. As high above as the heavens is his mercy towards those that's trying to do right. It ain't always a cakewalk. But hell, y'all trying. I wasn't too pleased with how you behaved that day. But man, it's a whole bunch of days you did all right. I see you got that battle in the flesh. And some days you've been fighting that flesh off. You've been knocking it off and you ain't been paying no attention. But soon as something went down Sabbath day, you lost your mind and you tried to get into it. But I ain't going to cut you off because I see that you trying. So you shall get mercy. You just need some more time to grow. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 11. The book of Job, chapter 11. The book of Job, chapter 11, and all we want is verse 6. Because all we're looking at is the mercy that God gives his servants that's trying to do what's right. This ain't talking about the worldly people. This ain't talking about the people that's trying to play in the book. We are not talking about the portion that is given to the unworthy. We are not talking about the servant Jude when he gave all diligence to show the people that you have some that crept into the truth. We're not talking about none of them type of people here, y'all. We're talking about only those who are chosen. That's really trying to do what's right. This is the mercy God is talking about giving us, that he has been giving us. So we're in the book of Job, chapter 11, verse 6, just that one verse. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Job 11 and 6. And that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquities deserveth.
Right, so even after you get popped off at the mouth and you talking all proud and boastful for that tenth of a second or whatever, and he might send Satan to come buffet you. Or the Lord might pull your skirt over your head, or pull that sheet over your head to show you that you really don't know what you're talking about. Because if you go and read verses 3, it says, should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? So when you talking and boastful and proud, and a brother that has some good understanding put you in your place, then you shall be shamed and you might shut up. And right, you might get to the chastisement here and there, but the chastisement is not as bare as it should be. Remember, the Lord's probably having a stitching cord, but all I did was grab a house shoe and slap you behind your head. So I punish y'all less than what y'all supposed to be getting punished. So be mindful of that. But we're only talking about the chosen, those who are really trying to do what's right. So this is it for this part of the precept. That first part of the precept we just did was the portion of, God has mercy. And we just looked at the mercy of God with the chosen, those who are really trying to do what's right. The ones who's fighting the flesh, the ones that's fighting this war, but understand that you win some battles and you lose some battles. But the whole idea of this story is to win the war. So that's the first portion of this precept, and we have 4 more scriptures left. So now, brothers and sisters, we're about to get into the second part of this precept, which is called, but no mercy is given with blaspheming the Holy Ghost. So now we're not talking about the chosen anymore. We might be talking about the ones that crept in. We might be talking about the unworthy. We might be talking about the people who just want to do whatever, you know, just be a part of a clique. Now we're on this part of the story. It's because we just seen the abundance of mercy that God gives servants of God and people who's trying to get this thing right. We see the mercy. And according to the scriptures, the Bible just told us that God's mercy is it's as high as the heavens. But when you get on the conversational blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, it's none. So this is why I think God really, really, really deal with us, even though we get sick and despicable at ourselves and can't even look ourselves in the mirror. God is still dealing with us. Because I truly believe now, after looking at this precept, is that even though Satan the devil is an accuser and he up in God's face every day, but one thing that spirit bet not say, that we deliberately teach against his word. I think that's when mercy is chopped off. Now we might get a reprobate mind. Maybe we go get sick now. And when we die off, we will wake up in the second resurrection and God will ask us, why did you deliberately teach against my word? So now this whole story about to go left. We got 4 more left in the last part of this precept. So let's go in the book of Matthew chapter 12. The book of Matthew chapter 12. The book of Matthew chapter 12. And what we're going to do is read verses 31 and 32. Two verses, 31 and 32.
Matthew chapter 12, starting at the 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
Oh, so this looked like a different story with the mercy seat, huh? Right? So if you just bumping off your mouth and you might be just talking crazy or something like that and trying to deny it, man, Lord forgive you for that. Right? If you one of them brothers that the Lord called and you ain't got no understanding at that time, and you say something against the Most High, he'll forgive you for that. But to know once you die, you don't go to heaven, and you teach when you die, you go to heaven, you got yourself a massive problem. When you know for a fact that eating pork is unclean, and you go and tell somebody else, all you got to do is pray over it, now you in deep hell's trouble. Once you know the things according to these scriptures that the Most High have shown you, and you deliberately teach different just for the sake of not trying to hurt somebody's feelings or be on the bandwagon of these people, now you're in trouble. Because forgiveness is only anything is forgiven. But what's not forgiven is deliberately teaching against his word. So let's be mindful of that. Now let's go to the book of Mark chapter 3. The book of Mark chapter 3. The book of Mark chapter 3. And what we're going to do is read verses 28 through 30. And you know what? I'm sorry, y'all, we have one more after this. One more after this. But right now we're on we're on the book of Mark chapter 3, verses 28 through 30.
Mark 3, starting at the 28th. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit.
Woo! So 29 said, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness. So I mean, it will never be forgiven. So that means you could be on your knees all day and night. But to deliberately teach against something that you know. Whole different story. So this way it gets a little scary. It gets scary. Because you have to watch your mouth and understand what comes out of your mouth all the time. So now let's go into the last spot of this precept, and we'll be out of here for the night. Let's go into the book of Luke chapter 12. The book of Luke chapter 12. The book of Luke chapter 12. And all we want is verse 10. Luke 12 and 10.
Luke chapter 12, starting at the 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven.
It's not forgiven. So the reason why we did this precept is to really show the difference between mercy and no mercy. And Brother Combs, you still got that scripture from this morning, from the beginning reading?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Let it rip when you get
and
it.
And that would be, Ecclesiastes chapter 34, and it's going to be 9 through 17. And it reads, "A man that hath traveled knoweth many things, and he that hath much experience will declare wisdom. He that hath no experience knoweth little, but he that hath traveled is full of prudence. When I traveled, I saw many things, and I understand more than I can express. I was oft time in danger of death, yet I was delivered because of these things. The spirit of those that fear the Lord shall live, for their hope is in him that saveth them. Whoso feareth the Lord shall not fear nor be afraid, for he is his hope. Blessed is the soul of man that feareth the Lord, to whom doeth he look, and who is his strength. For the eyes of the Lord are upon them that love him. He is their mighty protection and strong stay, a defense from heat and a cover from the sun at noon, and preservation from stumbling and a help from falling. He rises up the soul and lighteneth the eyes. He giveth health, life, and blessing." I have read Ecclesiastes chapter 34, 9 through 17. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And before we open up the mics, you know what I really appreciate about that scripture you wrote is that when the man said that he traveled and seen many things. So when I look at that, man that's traveling and have seen many things, you know, in all he is seeing new things. He's seeing so many things and he had an understanding. So that's why it's not a good idea to be trying to put yourself on this high pedestal, because ain't no telling what journey we all got to go. But to watch and observe and learn how to do the right thing. And even if you don't understand, or maybe the flesh is bothering you, God will deliver you if you're a chosen vessel and you're trying to do what's right. So thank you, Brother Nakomi, for reading that the second time for me. The name of the precept again was called, "Yea, God has mercy, but no mercy is given with blaspheming the Holy Ghost." So to the grace of God, I hope you guys got some understanding out of the precept, and I thank y'all for your time.
Amen.
Amen. God is merciful.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
All right, turn things over to Job and Sister Rhea.
Wow. Hey, long is life.
Shalom, big bro.
Wow. Wonderful precept, man. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful precept. Man, it's just so many, you know, the Lord, I was sitting there just listening, and I'm just listening.
Hey,
hold on a second.
Hey, you want me just mute it out until, because I hear that thing in the background, too. You just want to mute it out and then just unmute it afterwards? Well, no, it just stopped. It just stopped.
No, that's him. He's driving in his truck. So that's him making that noise. Just want to let you know.
Oh, amen. Okay, amen.
Amen.
Okay. I just want to say this. This precept, man, brought me to this realization that presumptuous sins is looked at on a magnitude of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. when we go out and we sin willfully, you know, like we know, like you just got through teaching, you know what's right. Okay, it's one thing to slip, trip, but you know what's right. And you sin against God willfully, and you know it's not just like, okay, I'm eating a cracker, or, you know, or something like that, or even on a Sabbath day, but you out, I mean, out here really, really bad. That's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. This is that thing. I want to read this. It says this. It says, I'm reading Hebrews chapter 6 and 4. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. That's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You see this? It says, your actions can be blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You known for being about, you known for the word of God, and you teaching the weak to be wicked, and to mock the truth of God, knowing you know the truth, but you perform wicked with the weak, teaching them that the word of God ain't even worth revering anyway at any time. That's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That's that thing that you were talking about. And we're not looking at the Father, but we're despising the Father and the Son and his blood. And then it says, for verse 7, for the earth which drinketh in the rain and cometh off upon it and bringeth forth herb meat for them whom is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. We don't want it. We don't want it. And it's another place where he says, oh, Hebrews chapter 10. I'm just going to read, I think it's one verse. It's Hebrews 10, and he used this word. And it's called, let me see, I got to find it. Please forgive me. Say, out of the mouth of two or more witnesses. Let me see. You know, okay. I found it. It says here, 10 and 26, for if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There it is. See that? It ain't even about what you're teaching, but what you're doing. That's blaspheming. Your actions is wicked and blaspheming, which will cause you that this is that thing, that willful sin or presumptuous. Yep. So I'm going to yield the mic on that, man. We really need to read the rest of this 10 because he really goes in. And like you said, brother, this conversation ain't for the world. It's about those that he said he called to himself, who he opened up the word to. You know, many are called, few are chosen. So this is to those who's called. That's why I said, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, but a fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or more witnesses. You see that, brother? You blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you get no mercy. We out here sinning against God willfully, gets no mercy.
That's true.
Verse 29, he said, how much more sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who have tried underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the spirit of mercy for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. Man, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living. You don't want it. That blaspheming, that willful stuff, man, you don't want it. Okay, all right, oh, you know, that's not on the death, oh, you know, keep your sins at a minimum. This here is not that. This is not keeping your sins at a minimum. This is saying that the word of God isn't true. This is blasphemy. So, man, great precept. I hope you scared the hell out of everybody on the phone because you sure got under my skin. So I just want to say amen, amen, and everybody, amen. You better pay attention. What blood you up under? Amen.
Amen. Great wording, bro. Great wording. You scared the hell out of me with that one, but amen.
Hello.
I call it. Amen. Yeah, shalom. Shalom to Gomi. Great reading, bro. Great, great, great reading.
Thank you. Yeah, like I tell people all the time, I said when it comes to this blasphemy thing, I said even if I wasn't doing the word, even if I wasn't in it, he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, the word is the truth. I'm going to always confess that the word is the truth, even if I wasn't even doing it, to make sure that blasphemy is not going to come against me. Because I know that's unforgivable. He said you could even speak against Christ and be forgiven to that. But he said, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is the word, the things that God has said, ain't no forgiveness for that. But the other thing I like that you brought about is that these are the chosen, the people that understand God. And I'm going to go to Psalms because it says that we got to be, he knocks you off your pedestal just like he did Paul. And I'm going to show us King David in Psalms 119 and 67. And like I'm saying, Paul was talking about what he was going through. King David is the same way. And he says in Psalms 119 and 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. So he said, King David said, he had to be afflicted. He went astray until he got afflicted. He said, but now I'm going to keep your word. And then I'm going to drop down to verse 71 in 119, Psalms 119, and says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So God, like he said, he got to break you. That, I understand. I'm saying if you're really doing this, you know about this broken spirit. You know about being knocked down a couple of pegs, and he got to do this to us to humble us to really do this in a correct way. And if you look in the scriptures, you see many, many of our brothers in the scriptures that they got knocked down a few pegs to do this. Because you got to come in that way. Like I said, and the other thing is, yes, you got to, for what you perform in front of people, he said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Yes, your reputation. I even tell myself, if I can't do it for myself in front of the people, at least do it for the gospel's sake. So you got to, you can mess up everything. The reputation of everything. That's why you got to be this at all times. You can be a living blasphemy in front of the people if you ain't living this right way. With that, I yield the mic.
Amen, bro. All great
praises.
Wording. All praises.
Hey,
man, go ahead, sis.
Man, that's Sister Nikki Dopes, everyone. Hallelujah.
Oh, hey, nice to meet you.
That's Sister Nikki, amen.
Shalom, everyone.
Hey, shalom, sis.
I just wanted to add something also. I was looking at 2 Peter 2 while y'all was talking, verse 17, all the way down to verse 22. And it talks about, just like Brother Job and the other brother who was ministering tonight, about blasphemy and the Holy Spirit. I just ministered that the other day, and that's why I know, you know, in the same spirit, I pray the Most High that we continue to, you know, be in that same spirit always, because, you know, like I always ministering, because like we said, two can't walk unless they agree. Shoot, two can't walk or talk either if they can't agree. So I pray the Most High that we continue to be on agreement, and loving the spirit of the realm of the Most High, because, you know, as I've been studying the word, and I've been, you know, the Most High has shown me so much, you know, and what we all definitely need to do, definitely take an examination of your life and yourself. That's the first battle. And definitely, you know, I was listening tonight, and you know, and I thank the Most High for you, brother. Who that was ministering? What's his name?
Brother Isaiah.
Thanks, sis.
Okay, how you doing, Brother Isaiah? I'll pray for the Heavenly Father for you, brother. Definitely, you know, the Most High used you tonight. Because a lot of people, you have to understand, there's a lot of people out here that is inside and don't honestly think that that they don't need to be humble. The Most High will humble you in every area, because he does not like crying for people. And that's something he does not deal with, because that's why Satan got kicked out, because of iniquity. Pride was found in him. So definitely, you know, I want to just jump on this right quick. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 17, going down all the way down to 22. Cause it was just something that would just jump right in my spirit. And it says, these are walls, wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Messiah, Savior, Yeshua, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them, verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. So when I heard y'all speaking that, I was like, yeah, you know, blasphemy and against the holy word and all that. The Most High said, it's better you not even know my way, because you know my way, you're going to get in some big trouble and turn away from
right.
it. And so it just was so important that, you know, that scripture jumped out at me. I'm like, wow, it was just rotting my spirit just like that when y'all was talking about it. And I said, well, I mean, you just throw that out there, because it's definitely, you know, he's telling you straight up that it's better you don't even know my way, because if you know my way, you taste and see that my word is good, and you turn around and throw it down like it's nothing, what you think gonna come, what you think your ear gonna be, okay? You throwing away the one that you need. And so, you know, I just thank the Most High for y'all brothers and my sisters that, you know, that was a powerful word tonight. All praises to the Heavenly Father. I just wanted to just share that. Love y'all.
Amen. 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 And good from hearing for you for the first time, sis. Thank you for tuning in.
Amen.
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 You know, I have these high voltage headphones in, my ears and eyes is ringing beyond recognition. <You know? laughs> But other than that, man, all praises, man. All praises, man. You know, I'm glad that we all got a chance, an opportunity to come together. And you know, definitely, man, all praises, man. Same spirit, sis. Thanks on that, man. You know. Thank you for your wording too, Brother Job and Brother Nakomi. Awesome reading as always. I'll pray. I get a mic with that. I get a mic. Anybody else got anything to say? Any testimonies? Any word of advice? All right. Do we have any announcements?
I had an Isaiah moment.
Oh, Isaiah moment.
Yeah. No, I take that back. I'm having an Nakomi moment. I was like, what? Okay. Listen, man, but I want to say this. What can you add? You warn the people. You edify the people. You warned and edified them. And the brothers and sisters gave their testimony that, hey, we better get some act right, or it ain't going to be right. It ain't going to end up right. And like you said, the end is to be burned. Hell is not just going to be like a fire. It's going to be every berserk and hateful thing that you could think that's in there. That goes from extreme body pain to migraines or whatever you can think that's going on. That's called misery. You don't want no part of that, along with that fight. So people, you know, keep those sins at a minimum. If you can, you know, there's none that do good and sin is not. Just don't, like David said, keep me from the presumptuous sin. Like the Uriah thing, that was presumptuous. Oh, brother, that was all heat, man. That was all heat. In fact, I'm good. We looking for closing out comments, man. Tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. I'm so good, man. I'm like, man. Okay. Tomorrow night, you want to be here again at the Sound of Living Waters at 7:00 p.m. The Commonwealth of Israel tomorrow evening. So, want to be here for that. I'm in between doing great tomorrow evening or something else. But I want to deal with something on that level. So if not, I'll probably be dealing with it on a Saturday day. I definitely want to deal with grace. That's definitely on the spirit. So it'd be either tomorrow night or the Sabbath day. Tomorrow night, where we let the spirit lead us. So, with that being said, Brother Isaiah.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, I don't. That was enough of a heart attack, you know, and keep our eyes bucked open, scratch our neck, you know. But no, but the grace of God, man, I think I got a precept for next week, I'm thinking. Like, for example, you know, like how King David said to keep me from presumptuous sin. But that's what he got caught up into. So that even let us know that even when we pray for the Lord to ask us to keep away from something, he might just check you out to see how serious you are on it. So through the grace of God, we might come up with something like that for the next precept. And I get a mic with that. And everybody remember, fight hard, keep away the flesh, do the best you can, don't make no vows, and make sure you, when you're in front of people, that you represent the Most High God. I get a mic.
Amen. want to say thank you, Brother Isaiah Brown, coming out of Peoria with that spirit of meekness and charity Bible study class.
You already know.
Hey, bro, yeah. That's another chapter for that book of Hubris Knowledge. Keep it tight. That's a great book, bro. I love it, man.
130. Yes, sir. 130.
What? Oh, my God.
Yep. That's I'm looking at it right now. About to put it in. What'd you say?
Amen.
Oh. Amen.
Hey, great reading, Brother Nakomi.
Great reading. Massive great reading. Job. Great reading.
Yeah, man, that scripture, man, was fire. So I want to thank everybody for, you know, for listening and tuning in. Thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bibles.
Read your Bibles, people.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You want to know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.